Dearly beloved, we are gathered together in the presence of God and these witnesses to join Rick Farron Stelling and Alicia Ann Whitaker in the bonds of holy matrimony, instituted by God in the Garden of Eden when He saw that it was not good for man to live alone. The Bible teaches that marriage is honorable. Marriage was also given a crown of glory by the Apostle Paul, who likened it unto that holy union which exists between Christ and His church, in which our Lord is called the bridegroom and His church the bride. Rick and Alicia, you are about to assume mutual relationships and responsibilities and to pledge to each other your undying love and devotion. Henceforth, you will no longer be twain, but one flesh. Your paths will be paralleled. Your responsibilities will increase. But your joys will be multiplied if you are sincere and earnest in your relations one with another and God in whose presence you make this covenant. By coming into His presence, you hereby recognize that this covenant is not only a legal contract, but a bond of union made in heaven, and is therefore to be entered into reverently and discreetly, knowing that God in heaven will richly bless those who seek His favor. Therefore, let us look to Him in prayer, knowing that He is faithful who has promised. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this wonderful day. Lord, it is an exciting day for Rick and Alicia and for all that know and love them. Lord, You have given marriage as a wonderful gift to mankind. When You saw that it was not good for man to be alone, You made Eve, and You presented her to him, and she became his wife. And therein he found completion, and therein she found fulfillment in being that help meet for her husband. Lord, as You have given this gift to mankind, and as Rick and Alicia are presenting themselves to unite in the bond of holy matrimony, we can ask Your blessing upon us today and pray that You would bless this ceremony. And Lord, may all that is said and done honor You and glorify You. And may Your Spirit be present here. And may all, through this ceremony, even look unto Jesus Christ. For it is in His name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
My mother and I do.
I ask for this opportunity to give a charge to both Rick and Alicia. And I spent a lot of time not sleeping over this. And I have two words. That is to remember and choose. For I know in time past, both Rick and Alicia has chosen to follow Christ with their life. They turned toward God and had faith in Christ. And I know if they remember that day that they chose to walk with God and have that same humility to one another from this day forth in all that they do through easy and hard times, that He promises, and I can guarantee that He will bless them. And I have no greater joy to stay in to see her. Get married.
I think this is a joyful occasion for everyone that is here as we think of how God brought Rick and Alicia together. And it's a wonderful thing. It may not have been as miraculous as God presenting Eve to Adam, but nonetheless, God brought Rick and Alicia, who I think over a year ago never heard of each other. And yet God worked wonderfully, and now they stand in our presence today desiring to unite together as husband and wife and spending the rest of their lives together. And I want to bring a short message from the Word of God. This is a worship service in the sense that we want to honor the Lord in this ceremony. And as I think about the occasion, I just want to bring a short message considering the subject of God's formula for a successful marriage. Everyone that has gone through this experience hoped that their marriage would work out. Many had that confidence, but I'm afraid that more and more today, even when they get to this point, are not so sure that it's going to last. In fact, they've already made preparations for if it doesn't. And that's doomed to failure from the very beginning. I want you to know that God has a formula for a successful marriage. And I hope that, and I believe that, you will follow that formula. You see, marriage in the world is failing. People recognize that. People talk about that. The statistics prove it. In fact, there was a news article that I read just a couple of weeks ago, put out by the Associated Press on November the 18th. And the title of that article is, 4 in 10 Say Marriage is Becoming Obsolete. In other words, marriage is fading away. I want to quote that article, some briefs from that article. As families gather for Thanksgiving this year, nearly 1 in 3 American children is living with a parent who is divorced, separated, or never married. More people are accepting the view that wedding bells aren't needed to have a family. A study by the Pew Research Center in association with Time Magazine highlights rapidly changing notions of the American family. And the Census Bureau, too, is planning to incorporate broader definitions of family when measuring poverty, a shift caused partly by recent jumps in unmarried couples living together. About 29% of children under 18 now live with a parent or parents who are unwed or no longer married. A fivefold increase, you get that? A fivefold increase from 1960, according to the Pew report being released Thursday. Broken down further, about 15% have parents who are divorced or separated, and 14% who were never married. Within those two groups, a sizable chunk, 6%, have parents who are live-in couples who opted to raise kids together without getting married. Indeed, about 39% of Americans said marriage was becoming obsolete. And that sentiment follows U.S. Census data released in September that showed marriages hit an all-time low of 52% for adults 18 and over. In 1978, just 28% believed marriage was becoming obsolete. You see, people are abandoning marriage because it appears that it doesn't work. So why bother? But I want you to know it does work. And if you will follow God's formula, your marriage will be a successful marriage. Marriages are failing because people have abandoned God's word. And if we don't do things God's way, it won't work. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." In other words, it will fall apart. When the challenges of the storms of life come, that house will not stand. It will crumble. We are seeing that day after day. We're hearing a lot of worldly wisdom and philosophy and psychology about marriage, even in Christian circles, but the statistics prove that it is nothing but vanity, even in so-called Christian marriages. It may sound good and look good, but it's empty. Listen to what God says. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, God gives some commandments and instructions and directions to His people. He has something to say about marriage because He is the one that designed it. We see God addresses the wife first. In verse 22, He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." You see, they are commanded to submit to their own husbands. This has been God's will from the time of the Garden of Eden. Alicia, you will want to do this for four reasons. First, because this is how you will honor the Lord in your marriage. Notice that He says, it is as unto the Lord that you will submit unto your husband. Now, you have publicly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and therefore you want to honor Him. So that's the first reason that you will want to submit unto Rick. Secondly, you are accepting Rick as your God-ordained head or leader. Verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Thirdly, you will illustrate the submissive role of the church in relationship to Jesus Christ as the head. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." You see, your submission is to be in everything that clearly does not violate Scripture. Your submission is not a matter of convenience. It's not when you feel like it or when you agree, but in everything. You will not pout. You will not nag. You will not seek to manipulate Him in order to get what you want. It won't work. So God says, submit. And then, fourthly, you will want to submit because this will be your contribution to a successful marriage. You will love Rick, and you will follow his leadership. Then God addresses the husbands, right? In verse 25, He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Men are commanded to love their wives. Rick, you'll want to do this for three reasons. One, this is how you will honor the Lord in your marriage. And you too have confessed your faith to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, you will want to honor Him. And you will do that by loving your wife. You show your submission to Him. You will illustrate His love for His bride, the church. Verses 25 through 27 say, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Your love will be a sacrificial love, as opposed to the selfish love of the world. And many that enter into marriage know nothing but that self-centered kind of love. And that's why we see many marriages just crumbling and falling apart, because a house divided will not stand. And the focus of your marriage will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you love Him, you will love your wife. Now, I'd like to, for a moment, address any in the congregation. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to take this opportunity to say to any that know not Christ personally, you cannot say that you love Him. You can't say that you have a relationship with Him. Do you see what the Bible is saying about the love of Christ for sinners? That Jesus Christ came into this world and laid down His life. He gave Himself as He suffered and died on that cross. 1 Timothy 1:15 says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're getting close to the Christmas season, or we are actually there. And what is that all about? Well, it's supposed to be about the birth of Christ. And why? Why did we have the birth of Christ? Because He came into this world to save sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I do ministry in jails and prisons. I am preaching 5 or 7 times a week to people who have done terrible things. And I tell them that when I address them and speak to them, I don't say what I say because they're in orange or blue. I say what I say because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I tell them that I talk to people in church just like I talk to them. You see, we all have a need. But only those that will admit their sinfulness will see a need for a Savior. God has provided a Savior in His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you have never repented of your sin, then I beseech you that you would look unto Jesus Christ today and seek Him. If you can believe that He loved you and died for you, then seek Him with all of your heart. Rick, that's the kind of love that you are to demonstrate as you love your wife to be, Alicia. You will demonstrate the love of Christ for His church. And then the second reason, and this might sound contradictory, but the Bible says that you should love her as you love yourself. You want to do what is right for your own benefit. Verses 28 through 31 say, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh." See, your love is to be a caring, nurturing, providing, helpful kind of love. You are to be sensitive to her and to her needs. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." You are to remember that though Alicia is in a submissive role, Alicia is not inferior to you. She was made in the image of God and is an heir together with you of the grace of life. You see, the lies of feminism and male chauvinism have defiled the understanding of marriage and have brought down the family. You will do well to listen to her thoughts and even admit she's right when she's right. You are to cherish her above all things and above all others, apart from Christ Himself. And then thirdly, you will want to love her because this is your contribution to a successful marriage. The summary is found in verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. If you build your home according to God's blueprint, he will bless it and it will stand. If the vows you make this day are kept, your lives together will be full of joy and peace, and the home which you make shall abide through every unknown in the future. Keep your hearts and minds open to the inner working of his Spirit, that your love for each other may become as his love for us, full and complete in every way. And finally, I do charge and require you both to remember this day as the most sacred day in your lives, as the day in which you promised before God and man that in every way possible you would strive to bring each other life's greatest fulfillment. At this time, we are going to have a congregational hymn, and you should have received a handout in the program. And the hymn is, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. And so would you sing together, please?
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
This time we have the pledge. Now the purpose of the pledge is each of them to publicly acknowledge that they're not being forced into this wedding. You've heard of shotgun weddings? Well, the pledge is to counter that. And so I'm going to ask each of them, and I ask them to say, I will, if it's true of them. Rick, will you have Alicia to be your wedded wife, to live together in the covenant of faith, hope, and love, according to the intention of God for your lives together in Jesus Christ? Will you listen to her inmost thoughts? Be considerate and tender in your care of her, and stand by her faithfully in sickness and in health, and preferring her above all others, accept full responsibility for her, every necessity for as long as you both shall live? Alicia, will you have Rick to be your wedded husband, to live together in the covenant of faith, hope, and love, according to the intention of God for your lives together in Jesus Christ? Will you listen to his inmost thoughts, be considerate and tender in your care of him, and stand by him faithfully in sickness and in health, and preferring him above all others, accept full responsibility for his every necessity for as long as you both shall live? This time I ask you to face each other and hold each other's hands and repeat after me. Rick, you're first. I, Rick, take you, Alicia, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance. And thereto I pledge you my faith. Hey, Alicia. I, Alicia, take you, Rick, to be my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge you my faith. What token do you give as symbols of your affection and integrity? Let these rings be the symbols of a spiritual bond that links your hearts in a lifelong covenant. Rick, would you take this ring and place it on Alicia's finger and repeat after me? With this ring, I marry you, pledging my loyalty, love, and life. Pledging my loyalty, love, and life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alicia, would you take this ring and place it on Rick's finger and repeat after me? With this ring, I marry you, pledging my loyalty, love, and life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Rick and Alicia, we have heard you promise to share your lives in marriage. We recognize and respect the covenant you have made. It is not a minister standing before you that makes your marriage real, but the honesty and sincerity of what you have said and done here before your friends and relatives in the sight of God. For as much as Rick and Alicia have consented together in holy wedlock and have witnessed the same before God and this company, by the authority committed unto me as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I declare that Rick and Alicia are now husband and wife according to the ordinance of God and the law of the state of Wisconsin. In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Whom therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. May we pray. Heavenly Father, as Rick and Alicia have taken their vows before you to love, cherish, honor, and be loyal to each other, we are asking that you would bless them to fulfill their vows throughout the rest of their lives. Lord, may their marriage truly symbolize the love of Christ for his church. May they be faithful to you, Lord. May you bless them. May you keep them and may you prosper them. We ask that you would bless Rick to be the husband that Alicia needs, and you would bless Alicia to be the wife that Rick needs. Lord, for your honor and your glory, we just praise you for how you brought these two together, and thank you again for this wonderful occasion. We bless your name. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Rick, you may kiss your bride. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you for the first time, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Stelling.
Sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear, I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet, when you need to speak your mind, I will listen. And I will be here when the laughter turns to trying, through the winning, losing, and trying, we'll be together, 'cause I will be here.
Rick and Alicia ask that you would remain seated for a few moments until their reentry is announced, and then there will be a time of refreshments. And so, if you would not mind, just staying in your seats at this time. Thank you.
Alicia just asked that I would say a blessing on the time together tonight, or this afternoon, and we'll just take this time to do that. Our Father in Heaven, we just thank you for allowing everyone to be here to celebrate this time of Rick and Alicia's wedding. Just thank you for their bringing them together. Thank you for this marriage. Just pray that your hand of blessing will be upon it throughout all the rest of their lives. Just pray now for this time together of fellowship that will be blessing. Just thank you for this time that we can be together. Celebrate their marriage together with them. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.